Reno Center, June 27, 2021. Tonight's subject is repeated thoughts. Kavi reads a quote from Baba and question number 63 of Most Precious.
Man derives his name from the possession of the mind. As a man thinks, so he becomes. Man means mind, and mind means man. Mind is only a bundle of thoughts. Thoughts give rise to actions, and what we enjoy or suffer in this world are the consequences of these actions. It follows, therefore, that only when man's thoughts are good will his life be good. Thoughts are highly potent. They survive the death of man. Hence, it is essential to keep out bad thoughts from our minds. It is bad thoughts that separate man from man and make them forget their common divinity. When men realize that the Atma in every body is one and the same, there will be no room for differences. The peace of the individual, as well as of the world, depends on the mind, hence the need for proper disciplining of the mind. Most Precious, question 63. Dear one, speak to us of what to do with repeated thoughts. Answer. If at first a thought does not get attention, or if you don't start a dialogue with it, it will passively pass. Those thoughts are repeated and annoying, which at some point you feared, hated, or loved. They are repeated because you reacted to them. Maybe not every time, but they did get your attention. Otherwise, how would you know that they are repeated? Now, to demonstrate it to you, a child does a new trick, and you react by laughter or a kind comment. The child wants more attention, so it does it again. Again, you like it and show your joy. So he does it repeatedly and wants your approval over and over again. But this time, you don't want to see it repeated, so you walk away. The child follows you for a while. You continue doing something else without ever paying attention to the fact that the child is following you. You totally disconnect yourself from the past moment. Therefore, you move on to doing something else. The child eventually turns around and leaves you alone because of the lack of attention that you gave to him. Now you see what you feared, hated, and loved in the past comes to haunt you as long as you show reaction, interest, or even desire to remove it or push it away or to embrace it. Repeated thoughts are very common for a person who has been a slave to his mind. But for an awakened one, they are non-existent. There is no use for the repeated thoughts. You are the witness, not the activity of the mind. Anyone have anything they want to share about either of these quotes?
Can I share, Kavi? I didn't know if I was going to share this today, but it was so perfect. So I went to Christian church this morning. And as I was sitting there and I see these quotes, I think I'm so lucky because I feel like I really understand what they're saying. And I don't know if everybody has that, but not all the time. But today there was a quote that was like, if you let your thoughts be controlled by yourself, it leads to death. But if your thoughts are controlled by the spirit, it leads to life and peace. And it was just so perfect. And I thought of Sat, and I thought, I'm so lucky to really feel like I know what that's saying. And most people, I mean, it just, you wouldn't understand it if you hadn't gone through what we've gone through. So I just had that today.
I just wanted to say this in response to what Adrian said. I recently, hasn't even been that recently, it was a while ago, but I remember seeing this quote from the Bible that said, quiet so that you can hear the voice of the Lord. It was very similar to that. And I remember thinking how clear that was to me, but how unclear that must be to so many people who are getting that. And I had just a similar reaction, just appreciation for this clarity, I think, that we're getting. We're going to go into the first question. Most Precious says, if at first a thought does not get attention, or if you don't start a dialogue with it, it will passively pass. Question, what has been your experience with this truth? How has it helped you in your life?
Well, I mean, I can share that it's absolutely the truth. And it's been proven to me over and over and over again. If a new thought comes and I really don't give it any attention, I don't leave it anywhere to go. And if I let it in just a little bit, it inevitably grows a little bit more and a little bit more. And then it's so much harder down the line to cut it off. But I'm so vigilant of this, or at least I really try to be, to catch even that first little inkling of anything, because you can shut the door and it doesn't come back. It's like a miracle.
Yeah, this is Radha. And it's really hard to answer that question, Kavi, because I mean, I'm not great with words, but this truth is the difference between life and death. Either you remember this, and we've been given so many different tools, so many ways to do this, and you do it, or you're dead. You're a dead duck in the water. You're just you're toast. So I can't even say that it's life changing. It is living, and it works in every situation where I don't give my thoughts attention. It works. And yeah, that's just miraculous.
My experience is really similar to what they both shared. I look back and at how many times I was caught in a war, and after time and absorbing Sat's teachings, and to see that war, to be able to get out of it at first and be like, okay, I can stop, I'm going to get out of it. And now to see like a thought come and be like, no. And to realize that you have dodged another vicious cycle feels like a true hallelujah. It feels like a miracle. It's like jumping out of a car that's about to hit you. It's so awesome. I'm so grateful. It has given me the happiest I could ever imagine being. It's because of this ability to jump out of that car.
Can I share, Kavi? Before coming to this path, they had taught me, when your mind is, you know, so busy, and of course reaction comes with all those thoughts, repeat name of God, or you know, different like religious things, and they were good too, but they were for me, they were temporary. It wouldn't cut, you know, the tail of the root cause of, you know, those thoughts, or wouldn't, you know, eliminate the thoughts. And then on this path, as all of you said, I've learned to be watchful of those thoughts. What I do, I turn, you know, as soon as I see, I catch myself that I'm going to either happy or bad. It doesn't matter to me. When I catch myself, when I'm lucky to catch, I turn my attention inward, and then watch the thought vigilantly, consciously. And that, like as Bahar said, it's just the door on the thought. And basically, I actually it helps me to stay in more.
I feel like this truth is so simple, but it's so pervasive, and it doesn't even have to be understood in satsang or from a spiritual text or anything. It's everywhere, that this truth is in every situation. It just amazes me.
Yeah, you gave a very good point. It's not religion, it's not even a spirituality. Is a fact, and not the fact that we ate when we were growing up is the fact that will release us. And it's just, there is no preparation needs for it, no learning, no credential, no background, and it's such an easy fact when it's understood. Probably is the easiest, because thinking is really hard. It's so simple that we sometimes wonder, wow, how do we not notice that? I mean, when I received this way of release, I was in a horrible shape mentally and emotionally, and it was dragging my body down. And from all places, you all know, it had to be in a mall. I was walking in a mall. As I scream inwardly, I can't take it anymore. And then this, what we are doing was given to me. I couldn't wait to get home. And when I sat in Baba's room and I took the instruction to my heart and I did it exactly the way I was told, it was like a shower of cool water on something that is so burning and so uncomfortable. I was shocked. It was so simple. It was just like a click. But then, as good as it was, it needed it to be repeated. It needed it to be put to practice. And I had a lot of failing at it. There was time that I would even forget that I have that. But then I realized this is my life now. That was my old life, where everything could move and shake and tremble me. And now this is my new life. This way, if we look at it this way, we don't get tired of it, because it's like eating, drinking, sleeping, resting. So that's when the inner journey starts. Every time we're indifferent to a thought, we have taken inward journey. We are not going out to find our comfort or our peace. We realize, oh my God, I have it. They don't. They just don't have it. And like you were saying, Adrienne, the true way is when you understand your religion much better. Baba had said many times that I don't come here to change religion or make a new religion, but my way is to give you understanding to see through the dogma of religion and superstitious and all of that. And I was never an active Muslim at all. But honestly, intuitively, I can say that I understand things from that religion that maybe most people don't, because of that emptiness and without prejudgment, without pressure, without fear of God, which is the most important. These are the effect of association with the silence and with the practice. The grace is in every fabric of letting less involvement with the mind and emotion. Because like I said hundreds of times, it creates space, and space is closest element to God. And the most invisible element, and less tied down to the physical level. Go ahead, Cavi, continue.
Wanted to see if anyone had anything they wanted to ask or share about what you just shared. See if anyone has something they want to ask about.
I think that was so clear.
Okay.
From everyone's experience, not even from my words, from you guys sharing.
So in the next question for Most Precious, in the child analogy, Most Precious says, you totally disconnect yourself from the past moment. Therefore, you move on to doing something else. What does it mean to disconnect yourself from the past moment in your experience? How do you do this?
For me, I recently had a very powerful experience. For many months, maybe half a year, there was an area and I had a very bad memory of that location. Whenever I was seeing myself on that point, I immediately went to the past and I was just unconscious and just like this. And very recently, again, that situation happened and I was at that spot. Then I just watch myself and I just stayed empty and more empty. And the memory came and it vanished. And I was feeling the most peaceful moment at the spot that I really got nervous when I was there.
What Mira shared is one of the best ways for me to disconnect from memory, like a past memory, is to watch the thought, watch the emotion. When I remember to do that, there's nothing else. And yeah, like Mira shared, it could take a hell and turn it into just a calm breathe.
May I share something? For me, the key word, the main aspect of the quote is the word attention. I believe attention is where we give thoughts their power, their potency. And thoughts that have happened in the past have probably by now grown into a tree. Now, how do you kill a tree that you don't want, that is going to destroy the house? You have to just not water it. And the attention is like water. That's the way I see it. New thoughts, I understand if you don't give it attention, they just die. It's like a seed that is weak. But old ones that repeat, they seem to be, it's a bigger challenge and takes a lot of discipline because there's a habit. Question I have is about Baba's reference to good thoughts versus bad thoughts. My understanding is that thoughts by themselves are a hindrance in the growth, for our growth. And we need to be in silence and empty. And I really don't understand why good thoughts are desirable on this path. Perhaps I'm taking the quote out of context, and I should, but it's just not very clear to me.
Well, I understand your predicament because of where we are in the essence of Baba's teaching. It should feel that way to you because it seems like we are giving it such an amazing, Baba said people come for trash and tinsels. They never come to get what I'm here for. Now I feel like we are here to get that things. But the way I look at it to make it clear for myself, Mansoor, is that Baba was a universal teacher, and he had hundreds and thousands of people daily. Now, in order to even have an ear to listen to something that is probably more effective and deeper, you have to make the people to come out of their crooked way of living. This is why even in the Bible says, serve God, and then you become the Son of God, and then you become God itself. So I would say that in this is far better for people to at least try to not think of bad and go with the good one better, but it is not permanent. It is just a step along the way. And most religion makes you come out of your crooked way in the beginning by giving you fear of God or doing good or doing charity and all of that, and they all have values. And I always, when Baba's quote comes, I say, who was his audience? You know, I wouldn't take it perhaps for myself or for you, but who is the audience? And it's like what we do with our kids. First, we tell them, well, don't touch the fire. And if the thought of fire comes, go and wash your hand, for example. I don't know, I'm giving you a stupid example. But I really believe that people that are ingrained in thinking and becoming cruel and greedy and all of that characteristic that can hurt and harm themselves and others, they need a teacher. They need someone that will tell them to think more positive, to be a better person and all of that. And it has a huge effect and profit. But then we get into, we are graced with even another level from his teaching, where in the same code, he says, your Atma, which means your God. And so we concentrate on the fact that he says, don't forget that who you are, your Atma. In other words, now come to this place and realize yourself. That is my take on that everything that is being said has tremendous profit, but maybe not so much for one person than the other. You know, the things that we discussed, the way Baba talks about Advaita, non-dualism, and the path of Jnani, the path of wisdom, not too many people want to hear it. I mean, even in a Muslim religion, how many people do you know that would embrace that and say, yeah, this lifetime, this suits me. Everybody wants to have laws and regulation, limitation. Tell me how I can do and become dependent. Most people need that dependency and rules and regulation. But I really believe just the fact that we're interested in self-realization, we must have done many lifetimes like that, labored over being a better person or thinking better or doing better. Now is non-doing is the best. Non-thinking is where we find God. Silence is where our treasure is. And Baba talks about that a lot, but not probably in public so much. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much. It makes a lot more sense than just 5 minutes ago before you explained it to me. I do have another corollary to my comments about attention, and I'm really interested if you feel that the emphasis that I put on attention is appropriate, let's say. I think attention seems to be the divinity in us. We create, we bring something out of nothing, if that's even possible. By taking the gift, which is our attention, and creating thoughts or whatever it is, the legacy that it is that we leave behind us. And what's remarkable to me is that whatever it is that we create goes back to us, you know, kind of, we're not independent of it. And that sort of thinking that, you know, once you create something, it becomes part of you and it becomes you. I don't know if I articulated my comments very well, but I'm very interested in your teaching about whether attention is as important as I think it is.
Attention is only needed in creation. Your reality is beyond attention. The attention is a link of the thinker that can be bound or liberated, where the attention is. If the attention is a dream, in the dream, in the whether it is day life or night life, and forgetting to pull it into its source. So attention source is totality. But once it rises, it's the thinker. The thinker can go to the mind or can go to the heart. And as far as creating goes, you can imagine a creativity and creation. Again, I'm taking you another step deeper. As long as we think we are creating, we are in the mind, because mind is the place of creation. But does anything need to be created? Are we not whole enough? Don't you feel when you are in the region of your heart, there is no question of creating? Because you are descended from the mind. The thinker has melted into the source. When the thinker rises, the attention goes with it. But the base of all of that is that that there is no name for.
Well, thank you very much.
Yes, I think we are very lucky, because the truth that has gotten hold of our neck always pulls us. No matter how intelligent the mind is and how intelligent the question is, there is a force within each of us now that has grabbed us and say, well, don't put up your tent there.
With Sat's permission, Kavi reads Baba's code and Sat dissects it part by part.
Man derives his name from the possession of the mind. As a man thinks, so he becomes. Man means mind, and mind means man. Mind is only a bundle of thoughts.
Can you stop here? This is so important. Man is mind and mind is man. So live both of them alone. If you want to be a man, go up. Mix. But we have a choice to be a man or not. Our choice is when we want to be active and productive in this world, we become a man, means mind. When we want to be as our own origin, we know where to go. We go home. We shut the door. Isn't that beautiful to be in the world and also know how to get out of it? And to even know what the world is. World is mind. You don't believe me? Go to your deep sleep and see if there is a world that exists. Or go to your heart, or go to your silence. Everything vanishes. Why? Because you are not mixing with your manhood. That's such an important point to grasp. Okay, move on.
Thoughts give rise to actions, and what we enjoy or suffer in this world are the consequences of these actions.
Stop here. Thought gives room to action. Thought, not you. Thought does. If you pay attention at the thought, you become it. You don't pay attention at it, you are not it. We got such a tremendous choice here that we didn't have before. Okay, move on with Baba's code.
It follows, therefore, that only when man's thoughts are good will his life be good.
Okay, stop here. Now, if you're identifying with the mind, Baba is saying, if your thoughts are good, your life is good. If your thoughts are bad, your life is hell. But this is when you identify with your mind. But then again, we have a choice. Okay, move on.
Thoughts are highly potent. They survive the death of man. Hence, it is essential to keep out bad thoughts from our minds.
Stop here. This is the way I understand it. When you identify as your mind and emotion and feeling, the impression that leaves behind when we are after our passing, we are in the subtle body, we get stuck in the subtle body, and then there is a birth. So as long as this identification weakens, then there is no concern for that. There is only grace to that extent, a release. Yeah, go on.
It is bad thoughts that separate man from man and make them forget their common divinity. When men realize that the Atma in every body is one and the same, there will be no room for differences.
Yeah, stop here. Now, what is this path or this method that we were given to disidentify with the activity of the mind as a separateness? Once we do that, as I was talking to Adrian, there is a space created. That is space, we can say, the closest to who we are and what God is. So now Baba is really asking people, disidentify with your mind. But if you cannot, then have a better thought than worse thought. Because we are all Atma. We are not all Atma. Atma is all. At that point. Right now we say we're all Atma because there is still identification. Once this identification goes, there is no man. There is no mind. Then we can say all is Atma. Move on, Kavi.
The peace of the individual, as well as of the world, depends on the mind. Hence the need for proper disciplining of the mind.
Now, the word discipline can turn a lot of us off. Because that comes from will, and the will comes from the mind. To me, when Baba says discipline, means to go with it. This needs some effort. Some effort. Baba calls it discipline. You can call it discipline. I call it stop. Stay. It's the language is different, but the meaning comes from your intuitive self. Like Adrian was saying in the church, intuitively, because of familiarity with a deeper way of living, she got it. So that is what is happening to us. When Baba says discipline, we know what he's saying. He's saying stop following the monkey.
So my mind is so annoying, it doesn't turn me off at all to think of disciplining it.
Exactly, exactly. You know, we are so, as a human, as a mind or man, Baba was calling us, we're so sick and tired of discipline. We're so sick and tired of limitation. And that's what brings us to the highest path, because we can't tolerate it anymore. We had enough, and we feel like we want to break these chains. And as we break the chain, we're giving our soul and spirit their rights. Because if God is omnipresent, how dare the body limits it? Not only we begin to give ourselves freedom in our thoughts and emotion, but we become more accepting of others. We are looking forward to give them freedom. Their bondage make us sad. We want to help them break it as well. Namaste.
Thank you, Seth.